Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. I'm Pastor Christian, and with me is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone. Glad to be with you today.
On today's episode, we'll talk about what it means to be in over our head as Christians. We'll reflect on Psalm 61, and we'll discuss what this podcast is all about. Thank you for joining us. This is Episode 1. All right, so this is the podcast, Ted. This is the show. Right now, the name of it is Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's to the point.
It's to the point.
I think we should probably discuss other potential names that we've thrown around. I threw out the Pasco Pastors Podcast.
Yes.
Lots of P's.
A lot of P's.
Alliteration, which preachers like. The Pasco Pastors Podcast.
That's kind of hard to say, though. Very fast.
That's true. It's a tongue twister.
It is.
What else have we talked about?
Oh, well, I like the one that was suggested, Tacos, the Alliance Church of Zephyr Hills, but it's T-A-C-O-Z.
Tacos with a Z.
Yeah.
The Tacos Cast.
But it might make folks hungry.
Yeah, I don't think they'd know what it's about.
Yeah.
We'd probably get people who are looking for a snack podcast and end up with two pastors talking about church. So
that's,
I don't know.
That's true.
We'll give them spiritual food.
Yeah.
Some spiritual tacos.
Yeah.
Did you realize that our acronym, the Alliance Church of Zephyr Hills, was tacos?
I didn't. I think it's great.
It's new information.
I want a t-shirt. You know, one of my favorite passions is drinking coffee, so I always need another cup of coffee. So
right.
We suggest that too.
As a name, I need more coffee.
I need more coffee.
With Ted O'Farrell. That could be the Ted O'Farrell podcast.
Could, yeah.
you could have a side podcast.
Side podcast. Yeah. I need more coffee. It's all about the bean. No.
That's not a bad idea. For right now, we're sticking with the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast.
I think that's a great, great podcast.
And if you're tuning in, you're all caught up because this is the first episode. So there's no homework. There's no prerequisite for joining this class. You're here. We're doing it first time and you're listening first time. So episode one. Here we go.
Here we go. Congratulations.
Today, I wanted us to talk about, as Christians, what it's like when we're in over our heads. I think, as people of faith, sometimes we're invited to move outside of our comfort zone. But we don't always know how to cope with this. We're not always ready for what that will do to our relationship with God. This is a matter of discipleship, right?
Well, yeah, when I think about being over my head, sometimes we experience that every day, or there's big moments in our life. I remember a particular time when I really felt over my head. I accepted a new position as executive director of Lake Swan Camp, a Christian camp near Gainesville, Florida. And I was there in the first week, and I sat at the desk, and I just put my hands on my head, actually. Literally, I felt overwhelmed because I felt underqualified, over my head. I had a lack of business skills, aware of my shortcomings.
How old were you when you took that roundabout?
I was in my 30s.
Okay. So you've been doing pastoral ministry.
But I've been doing pastoral ministry for a while and was trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I knew that God had called us to that ministry at that particular moment in time in history. But I really felt overwhelmed because it was a huge undertaking.
And it was a lot of skills you hadn't necessarily developed.
I was a music composition major, and here I am in a business setting and had to learn all these different industries, hotel industry, recreational industry, the food industry.
Oh, yeah, because you had to feed all those campers.
Had to feed, yeah. There's like tons of them, and they're always hungry. You always got to come up with ways to feed them.
Did you ever have to cook? Were you ever responsible for prepping?
I did. I would make the scrambled eggs in the morning. That was kind of fun to do.
Yeah.
But you could imagine cooking over 600 eggs early in the morning.
That's a lot of
scrambling. That's a lot of eggs. Then I got promoted to be the pot boy. I could wash the pots.
That was a promotion.
That was a promotion.
Wash the pots.
I washed the pots.
Yeah, so you had to manage staff as well.
Had to manage staff and personnel. That's a big, big job.
Yeah.
I really felt overwhelmed. So I really needed God's continued leadership and his intervention in my life. And he came through. It was wonderful what God did.
Yeah, God invited you. You were sure about it. You felt called to this new thing.
Sure did.
But it was beyond the capacity that you had at the time.
It was outside my wheelhouse. So there is great feelings of being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I think that comes when we don't feel like we're skilled enough or talented enough, or we haven't had the education or training, and we're put in a position. And it's like, what do we do now?
Yeah. So a memory of being overwhelmed that's really stuck with me throughout my life is the first time I took an overseas mission trip. I was 16 years old, and a woman just came to the chapel service at my school and talked about this organization, you know. So I signed up for two trips, and one of them was called the Desert Angels, and we were supposed to ride motorcycles in Africa. I've never been interested in motorcycles at all, but it sounded kind of cool. And then the other one was in Bangladesh, where the brochure made it sound like you will paddle in a canoe to work, and we were going to help a construction project for like a little Christian school in the southern part of Bangladesh when it was like flooded, because it was raining season. And I didn't know anything about cross-cultural anything, but I just thought, this sounds fun. And I raised money for it, and I got accepted to the Bangladesh trip, and that's the one that I took. And there was they call it boot camp in Merritt Island, Florida. You had to go to boot camp for 3 weeks to prepare you for going on the field. And all the teams were together. The construction teams had to learn how to do construction stuff. I learned like how to do concrete blocks. It was like sawing pieces of wood and how to hammer a nail. Some of the stuff I already knew, but my team was a construction team. So I had to learn that stuff. We did all this spiritual stuff, and it was so hot in Merritt Island, Florida, and we had to sleep in tents. And the tents leaked, but they were covered with a black tarp, you know, to try to keep the water out. So this black tarp would absorb all the heat from the day. And then also it was full of water because it had leaked that night when it rained.
When it rained, yeah.
So you get into the tent, and it's like a sauna in there. There's just like puddles in the tent, in the floor of the tent, and it's so hot. And it was full of mosquitoes. Like all of Merritt Island, all the mosquitoes live in Merritt Island. That's where they trained. They had boot camp as well. Because
they knew.
I'm telling you, my arms
were fresh blood.
There was no skin. It was only just like red. I had probably 100 mosquito bites per arm, you know, all of my exposed skin. And it was just like swollen. I remember like day two, I climb into this tent, you know, laying in these puddles. I'm like trying to spray bug spray on myself. The mosquitoes are laughing. And that's one of a few handful of times I can remember like I lifted my hands to the heavens, and it was like, Lord, where have you led me? You know,
yeah.
Like I felt so over my head. I thought, I know how to hammer a nail. I know how to paddle a canoe. But I got to boot camp and I was not ready for just how intense it was going to be.
Yeah.
We had to do obstacle courses.
Military stuff.
It was like this Christian themed obstacle course. So like we ran through the tires, you know, with your feet in the tires. But each time you did one, you had to name one of the 10 plagues of Egypt.
Oh.
Seriously.
I'd get it mixed up in order.
And I had to hit them all.
Had to hit them all.
And that was just boot camp. You know, when we got to Bangladesh, immediately our team was rerouted. We got to the airport and this really scared looking guy was there to meet us.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, you can't come because we just had some stuff go down in our village. I think there was some persecution of Christians. And like the last thing we need is 30 white kids coming in here. And so we ended up, this missionary got a call in the middle of the night and he showed up at the airport and there was 30 kids, you know, and the adults that were with us. And he's like, okay, come on. And so like he ended up finding work for us to do. Like we were totally redirected.
Wow.
And I remember one moment, we had like a afternoon off and we had gone shopping. We got back, but the bus had moved. I think it had to move because of traffic. And we were like in the middle of the city, a handful of teenagers. I was 16. And we were just looking around like, where's the bus? Where's the team? Oh my God, we were lost.
Where'd the bus go?
In Bangladesh. And
you missed the motorcycles.
No motorcycles, no cell phone.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, one of the girls in our group was like, guys, do you think we should pray? Because we're like, we're lost. And we're like, that's a good idea. So we prayed. And as soon as we were like, dear Lord, we're lost. Like, as soon as we even said that, one of the guys jumped over the divider between the highway. He had seen us and he hopped over and he's like, hey, we're over here. It was so cool. It was like right as we opened our mouth to pray, it felt like the Lord rescued us. But that whole trip,
that was cool.
I mean, I could talk about the trip forever, but that whole experience was me being way over my head. And I thought I was ready and I thought I was qualified, but I was absolutely not, you know.
So it's kind of interesting. You have some instances where you don't feel qualified, you don't feel prepared, you don't feel trained. and you're over your head. Then you have other instances where you do feel like, hey, I am qualified, I got this, but then you're thrown into a situation that's outside your comfort zone. And it's like, okay, what now?
And it, absolutely. And I think we should expect for it to feel uncomfortable, you know, because it is when you extend yourself beyond what you're ready for.
I remember at the camp again, I don't have the gift of mechanics. I can't fix anything. Yet at the camp, things would break down. You'd have 150 kids in a facility room in a chapel, and the air conditions busted, and it's, you know, like 100 degrees outside. What are you going to do?
When the air breaks in Florida, it's an emergency.
It is an emergency. So you run over there, and what do we do? My maintenance guy, so often at times, he'd say, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong. I said, well, did we pray about it? Did you pray over it? No. I said, well, we're going to get charismatic here. We laid hands on the AC. We prayed about it. And every time, God either got that AC started right then, or he gave us wisdom and insight what the problem was.
That's cool. So what I hear you saying is, like, we grow in our trust of God because he shows up. So the more times someone shows up for you, the more you come to count on them and just, like, count on the fact they're going to be there. And it's like we're stretched so that we can be filled up with sometimes new gifts or new capacity. So while you didn't gain mechanical gifts, you probably grew as a prayer warrior.
I did.
Right? In those moments. And you prayed before, but probably your prayer life and your confidence in prayer, even praying for things like miraculous intervention
of ACs,
was developed in you, you know, through
I've seen God do that over and over again.
Cool.
And I thank him for that. Yeah. So he stretches us to trust in him because he's our resource. He's our strength.
Yeah, I think we get new revelation from times of being outside our comfort zone because it's like we're awakened to reality more. When you're pushed outside of the norm, even in small ways, even when like, oh, I had a conversation with this stranger that it's waking you up to some reality, and that causes you to wake up to what's around you. And then God can speak through those things. It's like you're listening more, you know, your ears are more open because you're outside of your comfort zone. And if you're in over your head, you're desperately seeking, you know, your eyes are wide open. You're like, wait, where's my help coming from?
Where's my help coming from? Yeah. I need you.
Our dependence on God is developed. And I like the word tested, not like pass fail test, but like iron is tested or metals, you know, when it's being refined.
Yeah, refined.
It's not a pass or fail. It's testing. It's proving, you know, it's when it's in those situations when our faith is proved or developed. It's like the tension leads to strengthening, right? That's how metal is developed.
Yes.
And so that's how our character and our relationship with God, it's tested, proven, strengthened through these spaces of tension, you know? Yeah. When you don't go through them, you're probably just going to keep going at even keel, whatever my level was of trust and dependence before. But when you get pushed outside, I think that's definitely something that we gain spiritually. Psalm 61. O God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me an inheritance reserved for those who fear your name. Add many years to the life of the king. May his years span the generations. May he reign under God's protection forever. May your unfailing love and faithfulness watch over him. Then I will sing praises to your name forever as I fulfill my vows each day. So that's Psalm 61, the New Living Translation. As you hear that psalm, Ted, like, what jumps out at you when we're thinking of this idea of being in over our heads or being overwhelmed?
Well, I like what the psalmist writes when he says, I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. The other phrase that really jumped out was, for you are my safe refuge. I just, for me, that brings a sense of calmness, a sense of peace, a sense of hope. and sense that, hey, everything's going to be all right. God's got this. I can trust him. He's going to lead me onward and upward.
Yeah. Sometimes God invites you to the ends of the earth. And from the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help. Sometimes God invites us to the ends of the earth, but there is a safe place, a towering rock of safety, and that safety is his presence, right?
Yes.
You are my safe refuge.
Yes.
You are a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me.
Yes. He has the confidence that you have heard my vows, O God, verse 5. So there's that assurance that God does hear us in those times when we feel like not only up to our neck and stuff, but overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. We're just going under. God hears us. He wants us to cry out to him.
Yeah. How does that word vows strike you as you read it? It's repeated a lot. You know, you've heard my vows. I will fulfill my vows each day. You know, many kings in the ancient Near East performed vows or fulfilled vows. It's like they owed an obligation to the deity of their area, which was, you know, the source of their power. So they made sacrifices. They performed rituals, performed vows. Mm. How does that word kind of hit you?
I think for me, it's my commitment to God, my promises to God, my desire to know him and love him and live for him. I mean, I think sometimes we think that, oh, well, God, you'll bail me out if I do this or if I do that. Or we say sometimes even in high school, hey, Lord, if you help me get an A on this test, I'll live for you forever.
Exactly. It feels transactional, doesn't it?
Where right.
It's like, that's like a vow. Hey, if you take care of me, I promise to, you know,
right.
Fill in the blank.
Right. And God, he says, man, I love you regardless of that. But in your time of need, I just want you to trust in me. I'm with you. I'll be there. I will rescue you. I'll deliver you.
Yeah.
I'll be that safe refuge.
I think we are supposed to feel the safety of that promise on his side. And I think we're not supposed to have the idea of the transaction on our side. If I do this, and that word vow really does conjure that for me, but I think that's probably the wrong way to interpret it. I think, you know, duty, promise, service, faithfulness, that's what that word means. Like, I'll be faithful to you. I will serve you.
I'll honor you.
Mm, yeah.
I'm going to keep my word. I've made a commitment to you. I'm going to honor you. Just like a wedding, you know, in a marriage, you know, I made a commitment to you. I'm going to honor you.
Yeah, I think marriage is a great example. And I think that's a really good way to interpret the vows. It's like, because you hear me, because you save me, because of who you are, I desire to give you glory.
Yes.
Because you do your part, I want to do my part, you know.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill this vow.
And then the results of that, he says, not only gets the benefits of what he's praying, but he says in verse 8, I will sing praises to your name forever as I fulfill my vows each day. So as I live out my commitment to you, because I love you, I'm going to sing praises.
Yeah. The promise is on God's end too, right?
Mm-hmm.
May I reign under God's protection forever.
Yes. Yes.
May your unfailing love and faithfulness watch over him. I really feel like it's drawing attention to the part that God is fulfilling, that it's unfailing, you know.
Yes. When we look at this psalm, what does God do? He's there for us when we need to cry out to him. And he is there to bring us that rock of safety, that safe refuge.
Yeah, I really like the phrase, shelter of your wings. You know, some people interpret that like the cherubim, the picture of the cherubim with the long wings that are like covering the holy place. But I like to see it more the way it's mentioned in other psalms, like the mother bird whose children find shelter beneath her wings, you know.
And that's what Jesus even said to Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the compassion of the Lord in that moment. You see his love for Jerusalem and his love for people.
Yeah. When my heart is overwhelmed, let me understand that in your sanctuary, I'm still safe beneath the shelter of your wing.
Yes, that's a good word.
Okay, Ted, so we've talked about being in over our heads as Christians and what that can feel like. I wonder, just what advice would you have for a disciple of Jesus who feels like he or she might be in over their head or might have been invited to this place where now they're overwhelmed?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that for me, when I've been in that place, when I feel overwhelmed, immediately I think of another psalm, you know, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So I have to be reminded that God is with me. And then I think about, well, is God trying to get my attention? Is he challenging me in this process of being overwhelmed, that he wants to teach me or lead me into a deeper understanding of who he is, a deeper area of trust? You know, and then I need to look to see in the midst of that calamity or being overwhelmed, where is God answering prayer? Mm-hmm. And then lean into that. He's my only hope. He's my deliverer.
Yeah, so look for that. If you're in the midst of being overwhelmed, look for where God is answering prayer. Yeah. Look for what he might be teaching you.
And it may take some time, so you gotta hang in there. Don't, you know, well, I haven't heard you, God, answer my prayer today. I prayed once. I prayed twice. I prayed three times. No, keep persistent. Pursue God, and don't give up in your walk, and keep your eyes on him. He'll lead you through that valley onto victory. Yeah. So how about you?
Yeah, I think a good question to ask yourself is, who's receiving the glory in this situation, in this thing that where you feel overwhelmed? Are you the one who's at the end going to receive the glory for this? Or do you really have a sense that God is the one who's receiving the glory for what you are being invited to do? I think if it's the latter, you can have some confidence that, you know, you haven't led yourself into this space of being overwhelmed. God has led you there. He's led you to the ends of the earth, so to speak. And you can trust him for safety and for all the things that he promises right there, you know, in that psalm.
Sometimes we're overwhelmed because, you know, God has led us there into that place to trust him. I think all of those situations, it comes to that, I'm going to trust you in this. Sometimes it's because of bad choices. We become overwhelmed and we're filled with fear. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get overwhelmed because of outside circumstances. We're placed in a ministry that is stretching us, that is putting us, as we've talked about before, in places that is not our comfort zone, and we are just, you know, misaligned, and we need God's help. And so then what happens is we have to come back, and I think we got to pause, maybe take a big breath, and maybe think of a verse like, be still and know that I am God. Just pause in that moment, and then, you know, lean in and ask for his help.
Yeah. If you're a disciple of Jesus, it's important that you feel able to say yes to his invitation, you know, to discern his invitation. And my advice would be, say yes to that invitation, even if it feels like it's outside your wheelhouse. And you're going to experience doubt. I think doubt is very natural. Even in the stories we shared, you know, there's moments where we doubt, man, God, did you lead me into this? Doubt's natural. Don't condemn yourself for that doubt. Just know that this is a time when you're being invited to grow in your dependence on Jesus. We aren't always comfortable being dependent on someone, but that's what these times of overwhelmedness are working in us. And I think as we're stretched, we need to believe that he's working something in us. We're being expanded so that we can be filled with something that's going to bless the world. So this is the podcast. This is a podcast for disciples. You know, it's about discipleship. That word, I think, might be hard to define. But what would you say? I mean, if I just asked you point blank, what's the point of discipleship? What would you say?
Well, for me, in a Christian context, is following Jesus, being like Jesus, so I understand his commandments, his teachings, applying that to my life and trying to be like him in that sense. So I embrace that relationship by faith. So discipleship is following Christ. In a general sense, you know, discipleship could be anything. Years earlier, when I was a guitar student, you know, I thought I was a disciple of classical guitar.
A disciple of Segovia.
Disciple of Segovia, because my teacher, Stanley Solo, he was a student of Valdez Blaine, who was a student of Segovia. And I felt when I was being taught, and those lessons would help me become a better player, a better performer in classical guitar. Following Jesus, what I'm being taught from his word, by his spirit, is allowing me to be more like him each and every day, reflecting his character and his values, to love what Jesus loves and to live for him.
Yeah. A disciple is a student. And so, just like you were a student of these classical guitar teachers, We want to be students of Jesus.
Yes.
What he taught, what he said, what he did. A disciple wants to learn and understand and then emulate. There's also a goal in discipleship. Your goal in being a disciple of those guitar teachers was to become a better player, you know, to become a player in the style of these classical teachers. And so our goal in discipleship is to become more Christ-like. We don't just want to know and understand Jesus. That's a big part of it. But we also want to do. We want to apply his teachings to our lives. And that's what it means to follow him. That's what this podcast is about. This is a podcast for people who want to follow Jesus. And what does that look like? You know, yeah, that we can draw a lot from scripture, but there's also so many things going on in the world. How might a disciple of Jesus respond to these things? You know, today we talked about what it's like to be overwhelmed. And next time we'll talk about another aspect of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Yeah, that's what this podcast is about.
Yeah, very good.
Thanks for joining us on the very first Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here. And we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to connect with us further, find us on Facebook and visit our website, zaccma.org.